Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to my guest, to my co-host, Maulana Ibrahim Daya. We were trying to get hold of Maulana Yahya Bamsab, but he's not available right now, inshallah. As soon as we get him on the line, we can continue with his segment of the program. However, Maulana Ibrahim Sahab, inshallah, in this program we can continue our discussion. I picked up an interesting poem which shows the depth of the Urdu language. It's one of the most absorbing and meaningful languages indeed, and perhaps I can share this with you, inshallah.
Yes, Maulana, we, you know, they would always tell us in Madrasa when we were learning the Urdu language, and in the beginning when we started learning it, it would be like, what is this language? And, you know, you got to get your car key and all of this right. And we think that, how am I going to learn this language? But alhamdulillah, once you sort of understand it and once you start speaking it, it really becomes a very sweet language and a language that you really hold close to your heart. I know when we have traveled to India and Pakistan, we would speak it often, and we would, you know, even when we had to speak in front of people and that, we would tell them that, okay, we wouldn't speak English, we'd like to speak in Urdu because of the sweetness of the language and how beautiful that language is. And we find also many of our kitabs in today's time also that our Akabirin have written are in the Urdu language, so it's definitely a language that we hold close to our heart.
Mm-hmm. Now listen to this poem in the Urdu language. It says, the poem is entitled Farq Sirf Itna Sata, and it is a poem about nikah and janaza, the difference between a wedding and a funeral. It's called Farq Sirf Itna Sata. Teri doli uthi, meri mayyat utha. Phool tujh par bhi barse, phool mujh par bhi barse. Farq Sirf Itna Sata. Tu saj gayi, mujhe sajaya gaya. Tu bhi ghar ko chali, main bhi ghar ko chala. Farq sirf itna sa tha, tu uth ke gayi, mujhe uthaya gaya. So are you listening to that, Maulana?
Yes, sir.
Then it continues, it says, Mehfil waha bhi thi, log yaha bhi the. Mehfil waha bhi thi, log yaha bhi the. Farq sirf itna sa tha, unka hasna waha, inka rona yaha. Qazi udhar bhi tha, maulvi idhar bhi tha. Qazi udhar bhi tha, maulvi idhar bhi tha. Do bol tere padhe, do bol mere padhe. Tera nikah padha, mera janaza padha. Farq sirf itna sa tha, tujhe apnaya gaya, mujhe dafnaya gaya.
Subhanallah.
So it's speaking about the difference between a wedding and a funeral, and how close and how similar it is with the crowd coming to a wedding. A crowd comes to the funeral as well. The bride is dressed in white. The mayyat is also dressed in white. There's flowers that are thrown over the bride in celebration. There are flowers that are placed on the graveside also out of remorse. Then they read for the bride also. The Maulana reads for the bride and recites before the nikah. For the janaza also, there is a recitation that is carried out. And the bride is presented to her groom, and the mayat is presented to the grave. So that is what they are basically saying. The similarity between nikah and janaza.
Yes, a very unique poem. It really gives a good message, and it just shows that, really speaking about life, that life is so short that one day you're getting married, and a few years later the same thing is happening, just in different sequence. And just on the side note, and you know, they say that some people, after a few years of marriage, it actually feels like they are dying now, and like they, you know, the janaza has already been taken out from them.
Yes, that is what some people feel like, and they feel the difficulty and the strain of marriage, and how much of burden it's taking and toll it's taking on their life. Maulana Ibrahim, you're not married yet?
Yes, soon, inshallah, in the next month or so, inshallah, we'll be getting married. Looking very forward to that, and a bit excited also.
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and grant you barakah and happiness.
Yes, as long as the Maulana was speaking, I don't think you should mention this poem on the wedding day, Maulana.
Yes, on the wedding day there should be a discussion on happiness and on prosperity and on goodness. And you know, some people when giving a nikah bayan, because of the situation that they face on a daily basis, the different counseling that they go through, and the different people that they speak to, sometimes in the nikah bayans also go on to the topic of divorce, which I think we should make a special concerted effort to refrain from that. The reason being that people are looking forward to, this couple is looking forward to a life together. We shouldn't draw their attention to divorce and to negative thoughts.
Yes, well, it's something that they call also, you know, they say Mauka Shanazi, Marjum Shanazi, that at each moment you should understand who you're speaking to and the occasion that you are speaking to. So this is a happy occasion, we always bring happiness, speak about happiness, encourage that sort of thing. And if it's a sad occasion, then of course, then you speak on that lines as well. Alhamdulillah, Ma, we do have Ma Yahya Bam on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Ma, and Jazakallah for joining us onto the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah,
from this week we have Maulana Ibrahim Daya, who will be co-hosting the program with me, inshallah.
All right, very well. Maulana Ibrahim, nice to have you, Jazakallah.
See, alhamdulillah, once again, I was on in the month of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, again, very happy and very honored to be on the program with you.
Jazakallah.
Maulana, last week we spoke about your trip to India and the treatment that you underwent, and there has been numerous calls and lots of feedback from people with regards to your trip, and they found the program very, very interesting indeed, alhamdulillah.
Maulana, what I want to say is that although we spoke about the trip and we did focus on what I experienced there, but primarily the message that I wanted to get through in that program was the dangers of taking these painkillers and English medicines, which is very, very bad in the side effects that it has, Maulana. And I hope people understand that that was the primary objective. And then secondly, what I was saying is that there is, according to the hadith also, an ilaj for any disease that you have besides maut. If you find it and you need to explore it, you need to go to that length to find, and you will find, inshallah. Although much of it is like in the use of honey, etc., which is openly shown to us by the hadith. Maulana?
Yes, we find these du'as also that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that there is great effect in it. And all of what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us requires our full conviction and our yaqeen. That is the important aspect.
Well, then what I want to at the moment bring on the board, which we will take on as a full discussion next week. And we need to bring to the attention of the people certain items and things. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Aksab Rahmatullahi, in his days, when I told him that I participate in Radio Islam, he said that, are you doing what an hauna anil munkar with the sweetness that it needs? And I told him, that is what I will be doing, Hazrat. And that is what our focus has been, where we point out that which needs to be watched and pointed out, in a way that it is not derogatory or in any way attacking, but if there is anything that goes out or that goes amiss, then we tackle it or speak about it. So like that, at the moment, what I want to bring on the table, which we will do fully next year, so next week, although we're not going to do it at the moment, but just an introduction to that which we need to know about, that we will be speaking about. And that is our madaris for the girls, where girls are becoming alimas. And that is great. They are learning the Quran and the hadith, and the result is that they are coming to know what and how the home should be run, one. But on the other side, we've had some very heavy negative feedback also from girls that had gotten married, and two, three cases that came to me in this week where the husbands are crying because those girls that have become alimas, they have now gone a little beyond that which they supposed to keep themselves within. With the result, these men that are married to them, especially that are not alim, they cannot manage. And she puts, she will demand by putting a ayat or a hadith that this is not my duty, I didn't have to do this, and the whole balance in the home is gone out. So we need to talk about, and we will invite those listeners that want to call in as we go through the discussion next week, Maulana.
Ma, just on that point Ma mentions, we find that this has actually become like a sort of sickness, common whether it be male or female, where everybody wants to sort of say that, you know, this is my right and I don't have this. Whereas when we look towards the teachings of Islam, it's always about giving the next person his right. That, you know, you find it very common today.
Yeah, but Maulana, here we're talking about a particular group and a particular type of approach. I know that today is the day of rights, is a zamana and a time of rights, and everybody demands rights. When you have any strikes going out there, the result is they are looking for their rights, teachers for their rights, etc. But that is not the area that we're looking at. We're looking at here at the focus of this type of a group of people. Maulana?
This is, Maulana, not the first time that this has come out in the open, and there will always be a difference between a person who has knowledge and a person who doesn't have the knowledge. The reality or the ideal is that the person who has the knowledge has to behave like they have the knowledge, not to abuse that power of the knowledge that they have, but rather allow the knowledge to humble them and allow the knowledge to guide them into behaving with humility, with respect, and to what is of most benefit for their families. Now, keeping this in mind, Maulana, if this is happening among those sisters of ours who have acquired the knowledge of deen and who have the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, then they need to really introspect, and we need to all introspect, in fact, that when imparting this type of knowledge and when empowering our sisters with this type of knowledge, then the way to manage and to control that knowledge also has to be imparted to them as well.
Yeah, and Maulana, on the other side of the coin, there are those that have come out from these madaris, called alimas or whatever, that have turned out, and there are many that have turned out to be gold. They are really worthy of that knowledge that they took, humble and running that home and promoting deen from their very home in a great way. So we're not saying it's all doom for those that go and study. We're talking about cautioning those that have overstepped and wrongly used it. Money, right?
Yes, well, maybe one thing that, as you said, that there are those that come out and they are like gold, and there is two sides, and maybe, you know, sometimes in the madaris where we continue to teach them and give them this education, maybe an important part that should really be placed with emphasis is on the tarbiyah of them.
Correct. And the tarbiyah is by far more important and much more heavier than the ulum part of it. Actually, Maulana, when Hazrat Maulana Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he came in 1973, when they were about to lay the foundation stone of the Simlak Madrasa, and at that time he spoke about the importance of the knowledge and the ulum in the deen. And in previous times he spoke about how women from the very homes were holders of great knowledge, and that today that the structure of the knowledge and other akhlaq and things has now exerted from the homes. So with the result, these type of badaris need to be formed so that the girl can be sent to a home or a madrasa of this type where she can be made and she can have that background that was needed for that mother, and the mother which is the seat of many, many nations, that is where they are made. So, and that is how Hazrat Qari Sahib explained that yes, while the dini knowledge and dini ulum was supposed to be attained in the very home, today we have to start and begin to set up these type of madaris so that the ulum could be. At that time in the 73 and in those years, there was a debate amongst people whether we should have girls madaris or not, and what will they be called, alimas, or what will be the name. These were things that were common in the discussions in those times. But then it was the better outcome was that it was agreed that we need these madaris, and this is where they will be made. In how many homes, Maulana, I have seen so many homes, the structure of the ulum and the structure of the akhlaq, etc., is broken down in that home. And then when the child is taken out from that home, brought to the madrasa, and here is where she becomes a better person. And when she went back to that home, she changed and transformed everything and everyone in that home. Yes, that's the positive end. And the other side is where sometimes we get some of the girls that do things like this. Inshallah, we will be talking about that next week. Maulana?
Yes, I have found in the past also, exactly as Maulana is mentioning, that when an alima comes into a home or a girl goes and studies, then she has a much greater effect on her family and on her surroundings and in the environment of a home than what even a male or an alim will have.
Sure, Maulana. Because the reason for that is that the child grows in the lap, and as said, that the nation grows in the lap of that mother. Father is not there to teach the du'as. Father is not there to give the akhlaq. Father is not there to give the tarbiyat. This is done by mother all along. And we see in the history of our great saints, who made them, these great saints, that then transformed the world, like Imam Bukhari, and the list goes on. It was the mother and the lap of the mother, Maulana.
Yes, it's a topic that I'm really looking forward to, and one that we really have to look into. You know, you find in today's time with the social media and with all this other media that we have, there's a great push where they push in this sort of feminism and sexism. So it's really a good thing just to have the proper understanding of it so that we can teach our children and teach the women folk at home as well.
Inshallah, definitely. Maulana?
Maulana, what would your advice be to alimas who find themselves in situations like this, or perhaps they don't even realize that they are in situations like this? Firstly, how do you even identify that you are being overly aggressive or you're being overbearing on your family?
Maulana, it'll go right down to the days when they are in the madrasa. And that will not only apply to them, that general rule which Abu Ghuddah speaks about, that if somebody took a loaf of bread, and look at the comparison, one is, what is it made of? On the one side the flour, and on the other side the salt. What do we get more? We will say that the salt is a pinch, and the flour is by far more. Now he says, will that ulum be the flour or the salt? And he says, let me tell you unreservedly, that salt will be that ulum, and that flower will be that akhlaq. And if the akhlaq is thought of to be as the salt part of it, then you have not understood the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana?
Yes, akhlaq playing a big part in Islam, and also that if a person has knowledge but no akhlaq, then you find that to benefit from that person becomes very difficult as well, Maulana.
Definitely, definitely. And you will find that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, what was his akhlaq? And Allah Ta'ala commanded the Anbiya generally that your akhlaq be of such great quality that people don't run away from you, they come to you. And the ulama are the varasatul anbiya. It has to be with those alimas and alims that your akhlaq are such that people are attracted to you like the bee.
Mm-hmm. Receive a WhatsApp message now, sister says, Shala, looking forward to this discussion next week. Great topic, really needed. Please advise alimas to embrace the husband's family, lacking much.
Sure, there it is. And these type of complaints have come. While at the same time, I would say that keep repeating in your mind at the back that it is not all, it is some. Because we have found many that have done it well. But those that have gone overstepping the mark, we need to speak to them. And they need to speak to us. Let us discuss. Jimolana?
Maulana, that respect of the husband's family, respect of anybody else, in any person, no matter who it is, whether it is an alima, whether it is not an alima, sometimes this becomes highlighted or it becomes blown up because the sister who is involved in the problem is an alima, and people don't expect this type of behavior from an alima. However, similar or even worse behavior, or it may be happening even in a greater scale in sisters who are not alimas.
Surely not, Maulana. And very close to this type of a situation will be that brothers and sisters that are in the work of Tabligh and Jamaat. But we are not at the moment going to be touching in on that area, which we can talk about another time. As I said, this is a program wherein we discuss Islam, and this is part of the Ummah's Islam that needs to be made in whichever matter. Inshallah, we will do that. Allah guide us and help us.
Amen.
Amen.
Inshallah, we are looking forward to that program next week, and you will be able to interact with us as well on that program and get your thoughts in as well and share it with us, and inshallah get a response from Ma'a Yahya Baam as well.
Inshallah. Jazakallah. Allah make it easy.
Amen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran Mulana Ibrahim Sab, and shukran to Mulana Yahya Baam. Shukran to our studio operator this morning, Osama Basuni, and to you for listening. From Asiat al-Mashriq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.